Everybody, welcome to the Sports in the Mitten podcast, powered by Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor. I'm your host, Adam Biggers, Michigan and Michigan State beat writer for FanRagSports.com. It's Michigan-Michigan State week, and I think for a lot of people, if you're like me, if you grew up in Michigan, with the exception for a couple years, I've lived in the state of Michigan my entire life, and as a kid, you know, the rivalry is what draws you in, right? It's like your it's literally friend versus friend, neighbor versus neighbor, relative versus relative. So growing up, I was fortunate enough to have an uncle who, my uncle Guy, who was really into sports. So he got me into it. I learned Michigan-Michigan State rivalry, Michigan-Ohio State rivalry, Michigan-Notre Dame, Michigan State-Notre Dame. Those are the games I think that us as fans, if I wasn't a fan of the game, I wouldn't be doing this. So genuine love for college football. And these are the kind of games that you really get up for, the kind of games that are really fun. So Michigan State especially, it's one of those, it's divisive. It's you grew up a Michigan fan, you grew up a Michigan State fan, that sort of thing. So I want to get the discussion started. I want to talk about the quarterback situation. It does sound like John O'Korn will be the Wolverines quarterback for the foreseeable future. I'll get in a little bit deeper in that. I'll touch on the Nate Johnson situation. I will, of course, talk about Jim Harbaugh's press conference today. And I had the chance to talk with Mason Cole and Khalid Hill as well. And both of those interviews are on my Facebook page. So go ahead, my YouTube page, rather. Sorry. Go ahead, like, subscribe, share Mason Cole and Khalid Hill. So you guys will have to excuse me tonight. I've been dealing with this pinched nerve in my shoulder, so I'm all hopped up on ibuprofen and Icy Hot. So this should be fun. So want to go in the room real quick. Machine Unit's in here. Hey, Machine Unit. Chris Hawk, how you doing? Matt the Destroyer, Eric313, Elite Demon, Sean DeBoer. Sean says, hey, Biggers, haven't been able to catch the live chats lately. Hashtag beat state. You guys, this one's going to be fun. We'll talk about this. This is one of those games like with Michigan-Ohio State and, like I mentioned, Michigan-Notre Dame. These kind of rivalry games, I love the discussion because there's so much more that goes into it than just, normal. I like to base things on logic, right? I don't like the emotion. But when you get into these kind of games, it is fun because you get to see where the emotion's coming from. There's all kinds of reasons why people are just so passionate one way or the other. They're either a Michigan fan or they're a State fan. So that's what I really like. Let's see. Leak Demon says, got to support Biggers. Big Bubble Blue. Hope I'm not too late. What's up, Adam? Hey, Big Bubble Blue. Just starting, guys. Chris Hawk says, Winovich will have at least 2 sacks. So I'm going to be diplomatic tonight. What do you guys want to start out with? I can, here, with Nate Johnson, real quick, domestic violence situation. I don't know the details of it. He was arrested, taken to jail, basically indefinitely suspended from the team. And he was at cornerback. I doubt that he would probably even play this year. So that's really the extent of that. So Big Bubble Blue says, how about the Vegas thing? Yeah, very, very sad. I don't want to say I'm desensitized, but it's like you just hear about this stuff so much anymore, and it's like, it's kind of horrifying. No, I mean, it can happen anywhere, any situation. So, I mean, this was at a country music concert festival, and a guy just opened fire. So, I mean, it's really sad. It's unfortunate. It really can happen anywhere to anybody. And, obviously thoughts and prayers to the people in Vegas. That's tragic. Machine Unit says Devin Bush in that defense. I bet he'll have 2 sacks as well. Mike Zabrowski wants to know, how is Ty Isaac progressing health-wise? Mike, I don't have a current update other than he's going to be good to go for Michigan State. I'm pretty certain. Eric313 says O-line needs to have a huge game. Damian Kuhn wants to know, am I just getting started? Yep, just a few minutes into it, almost 5 minutes, guys. So Chris Hawk says this game is going to set the rest of the season for whoever wins. MSU is going to come back loaded for Bear. It's going to be a slobber knocker. I think, Chris, let's start with the conversation right now. Michigan State against Iowa. Mark D'Antonio called it a gut check, a 12-round fight. It was. I mean, that was a, with the exception, I mean, Michigan State's offense really didn't do anything in the second half, but I mean, Michigan State's defense carried the load in the second half. I thought that is a statement type of win. I thought it was a must win for Michigan State, especially given the next opponent. And then flip that around to Michigan. Look at the way that Michigan won at Purdue. I feel like the second half, if anything, with John O'Korn in the offense, was, if not a statement, it was a precursor to something. Like, okay, look, there is some offense here. They can get things going. This is a little look at it. So I think in terms for both teams, they're huge, coming off huge wins, both, you know, a road win in the Big Ten, and, you know, adverse conditions and having to battle the elements for the Wolverines, and, you know, Jim Harbaugh saying, you know, that's like a manly type of win. And then you look at Michigan State coming off what they're calling a 12-round fight with Iowa, you know, that kind of thing. Violent hands, a gut check. So it's always a big game, right, with Michigan and Michigan State. It's all, regardless of the records or whatever, and players will say it doesn't matter what they did the week prior and that sort of thing. But I mean, there's what they say in public, and then there's another side, because today, and this is what I like about it, especially like Mason Cole over the years has been one of the best guys to interview. Mason's always a good conversation, you know, pretty receptive to questions and that sort of thing. And I asked him what comes to mind. This interview's on my YouTube channel. I asked him what comes to mind, you know, when someone says Michigan, Michigan State. And he kind of just laughed a little bit. He goes, well, and I'm not directly quoting him here. He says something like, well, you don't want to hear the words I really have to say. So he bit his tongue, you know, kept it PC, said it's physical, that sort of thing. Khalid Hill said it's a game, you know, you have to check emotions, because who, you might get a guy who swings on you in this type of, I mean, we've seen it before. And this is one of those games where you have to maintain the coolest heads of coolest heads. And it's really difficult, especially for a lot of the in-state guys or veterans, you know, who have been in a couple of these games now. They know what's on the line. They know it's Michigan, Michigan State. And regardless of what any other side says, this one means a little bit more. This one means a little bit more to Jim Harbaugh, although he was completely emotionless today. This one means a little bit more to Mark D'Antonio, and Mark has never really been shy about saying that. So I'm anticipating a classic, really. I do think Michigan wins this game, but I think it's going to be one of those where we're going to talk about the 2017 Michigan-Michigan State game for a little while. So, all right, let me get back to your guys' comments here. Big Bubble Blue says, people are sick nowadays, I swear. Anyways, O'Korn is about to explode. I think Michigan's offense is in good hands with John O'Korn. I do like, you know, I talked about that after the Purdue win. I thought that John was really impressive, the way that he ducked and dodged, created. And he's going to have to do that against Michigan State's defense. And look, Michigan State hasn't played a Big Ten team on the road, an SEC opponent, and a triple option team that's known for ripping up defenses. Michigan's got a couple things on the list, right, that are checked off. Like, okay, well, we did this, we did this. We know that defense is beyond legitimate. Michigan State's on paper is pretty good. Michigan State's defense, from what I saw, and I'll say this because I was there the past 2 weeks, against Notre Dame, did not look good. Against Iowa, looked pretty good. And this is an Iowa team that took Penn State, needed a last-second touchdown to beat Iowa. And granted, it was at Kinnick, but still, I mean, we're looking at Penn State. Penn State looks like the best team in the Big Ten right now. So with all that taken into consideration, I do think that Michigan State is much more like the team that played Iowa rather than the team that just self-imploded against Notre Dame. I really do believe that. And I think that we're going to see a closer version of that Michigan State, if not that same version or something better than against Iowa, against Michigan. We're not going to see the Notre Dame Michigan State Spartans. I don't believe that. I do think that was just a, I can't explain. It's kind of like an inexplicable loss, other than, I mean, Notre Dame scored more points. But, I mean, statistically, if you erase the score and even just erase the team names and you just compare numbers, okay, this team A did this, team B did this, and it's all in favor of Michigan State, and you still don't understand how Michigan State lost that game 38-18. So, Shamir Lobbins wants to know, Are Nico Collins and Oliver Martin going to be part of the wide receiver rotation at any time this year, or will they both be redshirt? I don't know, Shamir. And we're getting to the point, I think, in the season, other than injury, I think that, you know, once we start getting a little bit, probably week six, week seven, we're not really going to, I don't think we'll see a ton of new faces. So, I mean, Nico and Oliver are both just for games. Oliver at one point was injured this year. A couple weeks ago, Jim Harbaugh said that Oliver Martin had upper extremity injury, meaning his shoulders here to here. So, but he's healthy now. I mean, I saw him catch a ball before the, what game was that? The last home game, Cincinnati, during warm-up. So, Mike Sabrowski says, if Iowa sucks, then I guess Penn State does too. Come on, Kennedy Cameron. Kennedy Cameron says, Iowa sucks booty. I disagree with that, Kennedy. I think Iowa's a pretty decent team. You don't take Penn State down to the wire. A sucky team doesn't take Penn State down to the wire. I have to disagree with that. But it's rivalry week, and I understand if you want to go based on emotion and whatever Michigan State did this past weekend. I know Michigan State sucks. It's going to be a blowout. Michigan 144 to Michigan State 0. That's my official prediction, guys. Michigan 144 to nothing, because Michigan State sucks. Kennedy, I think you're going to be in for a surprise Saturday. I do. I mean, I don't mean to get on you too much, but Iowa's a good team, and I think the Michigan State has proven in three of its four games that it's a decent team. And yeah, two of those three wins were against MAC teams. I understand that, but Western Michigan has a pretty good secondary. Brian Lewerke played well against them. I think that Brian Lewerke played well against Iowa. I thought that he and Felton Davis. Now that, if you want to look at matchups, guys, in this game, Felton Davis is going to be whatever corner has to check him. And I mean, I imagine it's probably going to be Levert Hill. But I mean, depending on if he matches up against David Long, Brandon Watson, and even the safeties, Felton Davis is going to be a guy I think that the Wolverine secondary is going to have to pay attention to. So. And then LJ Scott. I imagine Devin Bush is going to be on LJ. I imagine that Khalik Hudson probably going to be on LJ. Maybe a little bit on Matt Sokol, the tight end. I mean, there are a lot of potential matchups here to take in consideration. And Chris Fry. Chris Fry, Michigan State's a senior linebacker. He's a captain. Chris Evans, Michigan's running sophomore running back, said last week that Chris Fry is rowdy, so you got to pay attention to him. And I mean, this is going to be one of those. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, if you love just the passionate, like really good college football atmosphere, and this is going to be crazy. And who's all going to that? Anybody going Saturday? I'll read a couple comments. Let me know if you guys are going to that. Kennedy Cameron says, people see one team play other team and think, well, they did good that day. Okay, but I mean, that's how you base the quality of opponents, Kennedy. I mean, that's kind of the common practice here. I'll give you a pass. I don't know, Kennedy. I think you're mistaken, man. All right, Big Bubble Blue says, Iowa home at night against top teams. Anything can happen. Remember Michigan last year? Exactly. I mean, that's got to be. Kinnick is where your hopes go to die. I mean, if you're Michigan last year, you saw a sure. I mean, you win at Iowa, you're almost certainly a playoff team. I thought Michigan had playoff-worthy resume last year, but I mean, losing at Iowa definitely. I mean, in Penn State, you go out to Penn State, goes out there, and boom, you lose at Iowa, and who knows? Maybe that's the only blemish you need. Chris Hawk says, Michigan and MSU, you can throw out stats, always war. Same with the Ohio State game. Those games are always tough. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, and look at 2015. I mean, I expected Michigan to win that game, and it did until the botched punt, right? And then last year, what Michigan was favored by like 21 or 22 going into East Lansing last year. I expected a thorough domination. And while there were stretches of it, I mean, the score, I mean, what was a 9-point win, 32-23. I mean, the score doesn't really show, I guess, how much Michigan did or did outplay the Spartans. Saturday, I mean, I'm expecting something close. Like I said, a Michigan State team that's something close to Iowa, and we saw Michigan's defense. I don't think either team's going to run the ball. Michigan State did a pretty good job against Akram Wadley. He's one of the best running backs in the Big Ten. They shut him down. Michigan, I mean, good luck. I mean, the third quarter, fourth quarter, those defensive stats are there. Again, opponents are averaging like 2.14 yards per play on fourth quarter. These two, Michigan has teams in third and long, keeps them in third and long. I mean, it's there's nobody's running this ball. I think this game is going to be decided by John O'Korn and Brian Lewerke. Defense, of course, will have a say in it, but I don't think it's going to be high scoring. I think both defenses will play well. I'm expecting this is going to be Brian Lewerke versus John O'Korn. And to me, that's an exciting battle, because if you're a Michigan fan, you want to see how John O'Korn responds in a game like this. If you're a Michigan State fan, you want to see how Brian Lewerke responds. So I think this is a huge game on several levels, and I'll have all kinds of stuff this week on FanRag Sports. Chris Hawks, okay, I already read that. Machine Unit says, I'm losing the comments here, guys, sorry. Mike Zabrowski says, D'Antonio's resume speaks for itself. Last year was a fluke, and he will have his boys ready. I'm a diehard Michigan fan. There is no debating that, but I am a realist. I give credit where credit is due. And Mike, and history, I mean, Michigan State's won 7 of the past 10. So, I do think that the momentum is kind of shifting over toward Michigan. I mean, and that was bound to happen with Jim Harbaugh. I mean, there would be a problem if that didn't happen. I mean, you make a mega hire like that, you bring in these recruiting classes, you have this all-star coaching staff. I mean, there would be a problem if Jim Harbaugh didn't, you know, command some of the attention or even steal it. And so I think that that's happening. But at the same time, Mark D'Antonio has built, I mean, just put his resume against any other coach's resume, and even just looking, you know, past 10 years. But I mean, Mark D'Antonio has accomplished several things that very few coaches have. This is another one, I think, when you look at coaching matchup. Regardless of your feeling, if you can't stand Jim Harbaugh, or if you can't stand Mark D'Antonio, we are looking at two of the best coaches in college football going against each other. That's another layer to this game that I just love. Jay Marion says, I can't see Michigan losing again at home after 2015 game. Going to be a tough game. Kennedy Cameron, it's not a good way to football is about matchups. Every game is different. That's true. That is true, Kennedy, but I think you're looking at it too basic, or you're failing to see that there are other things. Yeah, every game is different, and yes, you could throw out the stats and all that stuff, but it is still important to remember history and tendencies. I mean, just like take the Michigan State Iowa game, for example. I mean, that game went exactly as scripted. I remember discussing it, I wrote about it. That game came down to a final drive. That game is exactly how it's been with Michigan State and Iowa. Very even series, often coming down last play, you know, double overtime, final drive, that sort of thing. So, I mean, if we look at what Michigan and Michigan State is, and we look at what Mark D'Antonio's done, and we look at what Jim Harbaugh's done in, you know, in his two full years, this being his third, you know, that you do have to compare a little bit, because if not, then there's nothing to talk about. So I wish it was that simple, Kennedy. Dale Terry says, go Blue, let's get behind O'Korn and Peters and a speedy comeback. Yeah, you guys want to talk? Okay, John O'Korn, like I mentioned, I expect that O'Korn will be the quarterback. I would be surprised if we see, and this, regardless if he's healthy or if he's not healthy, I would be surprised if we saw Wilton Spate back at quarterback in Michigan, because I do think that John O'Korn has what it takes, and right now the pressure is certainly on him. So it's going to be somebody, because I don't think that we're going to see Spate, even if he does return in, let's say, 4 or 5 weeks, and by then, I mean, you know, do you unsaddle John O'Korn, who's I'm going to assume is going to play pretty well. So, like I said, I think I would be surprised to see Wilton Spate back at quarterback for Michigan this season. I do think that John O'Korn, if they don't rally behind John, then that's there's really no other choice, because John O'Korn's the guy now. So, if you guys want to talk about that, Jim Harbaugh did say that Brandon Peters is the number two. Kennedy Cameron says MSU doesn't match up well against Michigan. All right, Kennedy, we'll take off those maize and blue blinders, buddy. Big Bubble Blue. Four Master. Okay, Big Bubble Blue handled that. Four Masterful says this might be a game where we see a nice amount of bootlegs and screens from Michigan. MSU likes to be aggressive against us, so using that aggressiveness against them will be key. And for Masterfuls, yeah, and John O'Korn, isn't he kind of an ideal quarterback almost to do that? I mean, John O'Korn, whether it's a designed run, I'm not sure many of those were designed. I'm pretty sure 99% of the time when he took off, he had to, and he made something happen. But, you know, something of the bootleg variety, I could see that. Anything that you have John rolling out, I think that he's good out of the pocket. Chris Hawk says, I was mad Penn State got pushed out of playoffs for Ohio State last year. Our conference champion needs a spot, not the second place finisher. And I thought Penn State was, I was at that Big Ten championship game against Wisconsin. I mentioned this several times. Wisconsin had that thing finished at halftime. It was a laugher. And then you see Penn State just rush back. And I keep saying, I've been saying, Penn State is not the same Penn State team that lost 49-10 at Michigan last year. Penn State went on to win 9 in a row, competed very well against USC in the Rose Bowl, lost that 52-49, and look what Penn State's doing right now. If I'm any team in the Big Ten, I don't want to see Penn State. Penn State right now is the best team in the Big Ten. Nobody's comparing Iowa to Michigan, Kennedy. Matt the Destroyer said, John didn't take off much, just rolled out, but when he did, he looked like a beast. Saquon, Big Bubble Blue says, let's just be real here. Saquon Barkley is the real deal. Best running back I've ever seen. Saquon is definitely one of those players we're going to be talking about. And I mean, when I think of like great college running backs, and I've seen, it's almost like too hard to list. Some of my favorite college, like Kajana Carter at Penn State. Kajana, if you guys remember Kajana in the 90s, he was really good. I really liked Eric Bieniemy at Colorado. There are so many guys, just college running backs that, like Cedric Ervin. I really liked Cedric Ervin. I really liked Javon Ringer. I really liked Mike Hart. You know, when you think of guys, and just particularly keep it in the Big Ten, Saquon's going to be, you know, arguably one of the best running backs to ever play in the Big Ten when it's all said and done. I could say that definitively. Jay Marion says, going to be close for three quarters. Michigan's depth helps them late in the third and the fourth. Yeah, I mean, how good was Reggie Bush? And Ricky Williams. I loved watching Ricky Williams too. But yeah, Reggie Bush. And Rocket Ismail, as a returner, he played the lineup as a running back sometimes, mostly a wide receiver. But Rocket Ismail, he's another guy. I'm getting a little bit off topic here. But yeah, that's the great thing about college football. Saquon Barkley, you know, truthfully, whatever he ends up doing in the NFL, whether he's great or not, doesn't really matter, because if you just look in terms of just pure, you know, great college football players, especially right now. I mean, Saquon Barkley, if he's not in your top three for Heisman or the leader, I guess, in your mind right now, and next couple weeks will be, you know, better to form an opinion, but he better be. Saquon Barkley is like I said, just one of those guys. Dominic 90 says Cadillac Williams. Yeah, Jay Marion, Curtis Enos was good. Yes, he was. Machine unit, who will have more touchdowns, wide receivers, tight ends, or running backs, halfbacks, our defense, or the defense? I don't know. That's a good question, Machine unit. I don't see any team really having much success running the ball, but I can see this being a game where Khalid Hill is used on the goal line. And if you're Michigan, hopefully you get to have that scenario, because it's going to be one of those kind of games. I'm gonna save my, you know, not that it really matters, prediction for Wednesday, but I'm thinking this is going to be, you know, like a 17-14 game, or, you know, something funky like 20-18. I really do think it's going to be one of these kind of close, like weird score kind of games. Jay Marion says tight ends will be key Saturday. I think so too. Andrew Meyer says Brandon Miner was underrated. Machine Unit said, yeah, it'll be gritty for sure. Yeah, you know what I mean? I don't think, and if we do, we'll see, you know, something like Khalid Hill punching it in, or, you know, a scoring drive by either side. I don't think we're going to see, like, you know, like flashy type of plays. I think we're going to just see, like, guys who are, you know, barely hanging on the ball because they get hit so hard. You know, 3 and 4 yard just runs, and it's going to be one of those Big Ten slugfests. And at night, too. I mean, I think you have to take in consideration the environment. And, you know, guys like Khalid Hill and Mason Cole, they're experienced. You know, John O'Korn, you know, he's experienced. You know, this type of stuff, these environments, you know, don't really get to them. But I have to believe if you're a young player, you know, I mean, think of how many young guys. Michigan State's played 13 true freshmen because it's had to. Look at how many sophomores and true freshmen that are playing at Michigan right now. And, I mean, this game is huge. I mean, even some of the guys, I think after the going to AT&T Stadium and playing Florida, I think some of them got caught up, you know, kind of deer in the headlight kind of thing. So I don't know if that's going to be the case Saturday for either side, but, I mean, there are plenty of young players, and I do expect, I mean, and put it this way, if you're a young guy and you're not nervous in a game like this, then I do think there's something wrong, because it should get you kind of your heart pumping a little bit differently. It should get you nervous in a good way. So Hold That L says this game will be 38-6 Michigan. Lock it up. I don't know about that, Hold This L. Kyle Prang, or Prange, how do you say that, Kyle? Yes, Lewerke's first start on the road. That's true. That is true. This will be O'Korn's second start at home for Michigan. Only his second true start, because, I mean, he didn't start against Purdue. And it's playing against Michigan State, too. So, and again, I mean, John's a fifth-year guy. John's not from Michigan. He's from Florida. So, I mean, maybe that gives him an advantage to where he's not, you know, kind of so emotionally invested into it. I mean, and Michigan State, I mean, both sides have in-state players and things like that. And like I said, they learned to tune it out. But this is a game, guys, where we are going to see a little bit extra. I mean, that just goes with the territory. If it's that high of a score, it won't happen until late in the game. Yeah, a 30, I would be just beyond shocked if this is a 38-6 game. I don't think so. I think we would be lucky. I think we'll be lucky to see 38 points combined, 38 to 40 points scored between the two of them. I think it's going to be low scoring grinder kind of game. I mean, Michigan didn't really open it up until late against Purdue. Think of that first half before things kind of got open a little bit. Think of the way that Michigan State played Iowa. Those two styles, I think, are what we're going to see Saturday. Preston Prosper says the game will depend on if Michigan's defense can control the Lewerke. I think so. Like I mentioned a little bit ago, Preston, I think that this is going to be a quarterback game. This is John O'Korn and Brian Lewerke. They have to manage it. I think both defenses are going to be fine. This is going to be which offense can score a couple touchdowns and get a field goal. I think it's going to be like that. Andrew Meyer says 23-13 Michigan, Quinn Nordine. Chris Hawk says 31-24 Michigan late touchdown and field goal. I have faith in O'Korn. And John's a different type of quarterback than Michigan State. Here's another thing that Michigan State's faced this year. And Brian Lewerke's a different type of quarterback than Michigan's faced this year. So you have to take that into consideration too. Brian is a pro-style guy, but Brian has wheels. And John O'Korn has wheels too. They're similar in that way. I think John's a little more elusive. I think Brian is more see a break and go. I think Brian's a faster runner. I think John is a little more elusive and can make things happen. Lewerke is like, oh, there's a crease, bang. He's gone. Big Bubble Blue says, Gary putting up 3 sacks plus if this O-line isn't any good. And, I mean, it looked good against Iowa, guys. Speaking of back, don't forget Tony Bowles, Jamie Morris, great backs. Yes, they are. John Runyon starting. I don't know. I do think we're going to see more of John at right guard. I wouldn't be shocked if he started. And you have to believe in John's dad, John Sr., is from Flint. He went to Carmen Ainsworth. You have to believe that even though John Jr. didn't grow up in Michigan, he's well-schooled in the Michigan-Michigan State rivalry. I can guarantee you that. Four Masterfuls says, with O'Korn's ability to extend the play, I see big plays by our wide receiver when it's time to scramble. I mean, Michigan State's got a couple of good cornerbacks. Josiah Scott, Josh Butler come to mind. I mean, Michigan State's defense isn't horrible. It's not Michigan's defense. And I keep hearing at ESPN and stuff, and I flip it through sports radio, people are very quick to crown Clemson as the best defense in college football. And I don't know. I think if you're not at least mentioning, Clemson does have a pretty good defense, but if you're not saying Clemson and Michigan, I think you're kind of discounting Michigan, because there's no doubt in my mind, like I said, that this is going to be a top 10 defense at the end of the year. Top 5 would not surprise me. And that's just the way that it's gone. Sean DeBoer says, you talk about being at night, don't like it with this game. I like it in terms of atmosphere. I don't like it because I know I'm not going to get home till probably like 2:30. Getting out of Ann Arbor is a lot different than getting out of East Lansing. It's pretty easy getting out there. Getting out of Ann Arbor is hell. And they're going to start tailgating at 12 all day. I mean, that's going to be a mess. That is going to be a complete mess down there. Brown says, I think we should pump the brakes on O'Korn. I'm still not sure he is the guy. Well, I mean, he's the guy. Right now, he has to be. Wilton Spate's unavailable. John O'Korn is the guy, and he was the backup for a reason. He and Spate separated themselves from Brandon Peters. Don't get on. We're not going to entertain the Brandon Peters thing anymore, guys. Without Wilton Spate, and I know all the big-time Peters supporters, this would be the time where you saw Brandon, right? It's not. It's John O'Korn. John has always been. It was never a thing with Brandon. Kyle says, hold on, let me get back up there, Kyle, sorry. I'm really excited to see the matchup between Hill and Davis. Don't forget about that. Davis just has a huge game, and our secondary is not tested too much. Yeah, I mean, Felton Davis, 4 catches for 67 yards on that first drive for the Spartans, 9 catches. He was targeted 11 or 12 times, but 2 of them were overthrows. 1 of them was a pass breakup. So, I mean, there were no drops by Felton Davis. He had 2 touchdowns, 31-yarder and a 22-yarder. He looked really good, and I said this, I remember it was a few weeks ago. I think I wrote it maybe. It was just touching on Michigan State's wide receivers and how Felton's got to be a leader in that room because he is a junior, and, you know, Michigan State doesn't, for the first time, you know, they typically do have a lot of upperclassmen and a lot of talented wide receivers. But Felton's one of the more athletic guys, more athletic wide receivers in the Big Ten, and not a lot of people talk about him because prior to Saturday, he had 26 career catches. So, I mean, there wasn't a lot to talk about. But if you've seen kind of the samples, I mean, he made a nice, like, one-handed catch behind a defender against Western Michigan. I mean, he's got the ability to be a big play wide receiver. And I think that he and Brian Lewerke, that's going to be Michigan State's biggest offensive threat. And I don't know if they're, like, preserving LJ Scott. I mean, LJ didn't see a lot of action Saturday. And I don't know if that was, you know, by design, like I said, maybe preserving him or just maybe to get him comfortable because he has had issues with fumbles. And I forgot where the stat page was and it expired, but I think he only had like 12 carries or something like that. I mean, they weren't riding LJ. So, and again, I don't think that's going to be the case Saturday with either team. A couple more questions, guys. We're going on 36 minutes. For Masterful says DPJ could have a big day in the return game. Not saying a touchdown, but good field position. MSU spotty coverage on kickoffs. Yeah, that Jake Hartberger is a hell of a punter for Michigan State, and he's gonna give DPJ a chance to return. I'm sure that's gonna be fun to watch us. And yeah, I could see Donovan having a couple big returns. I mean, he's already shown that. Mike Sabrowski says, Okorn showed us he likes his tight ends and we have a stable of them. I see us moving the ball fairly well, spreading it around 31-17. Leak Demon says, I'm still convinced that had Spate not gotten hurt last game, we could have lost to Purdue. I think that Spate would have let him to a win either way. Okorn's last chance to ball out, I think he takes advantage, says Jay Marion. Chris Hawk says Peters needs some snaps going forward in case Okorn gets hurt. Well, I mean, that's what practice is for. And I mean, if Michigan gets in the position to where, you know, there are mop-up duty games, I mean, maybe we see them against Rutgers. Don't lose sight of the Rutgers game, guys. I joked about Michigan 144, Michigan State nothing, because Michigan State sucks. I know that. But Rutgers isn't very good. And I don't care who the quarterback. Alex Malzone will pass for 300 yards against Rutgers. I mean, Michael Sessa, they can run out the fourth and the fifth string guys. Dylan McCaffrey can throw a left-handed. That is a game, I think, that now that Will and Spate's out of the picture for the moment, you know, okay, John O'Korn goes out, Michigan gets a big lead against Rutgers, and then bam. I think he'll get it, Chris, but I don't think he's going to get it against Michigan State. I do expect him to get in against Rutgers. He should. That should be a game. Andrew Meyer says, Chris Hawk says, when are you going to design t-shirts for our podcast, Biggers? That's good. We should come up with a t-shirt. Because I appreciate it, guys. There are a lot of loyal, regular listeners. You guys really make it, you guys make it fun, like I always say. Mike Sabrowski says, do you see Maryland giving Ohio State a good game, or are you feeling blowout? No, I think that'll be a good game. For Masterfuls, do you think we'll a different kickoff guy for us other than Kakoa? He just isn't the right guy back there, isn't elusive, doesn't hit the lanes hard, and seems easy to go down. I mean, Brad Hawkins is back there. I don't know if they're going to want to run, you know, maybe Eddie McDoom. I think there are some options, even Donovan. No reason to even start your, Matt the Destroyer says, no reason to even start your starting quarterback against Rutgers when your D is that good. Matt, you could play quarterback against Rutgers, I think. I could, even with this bum shoulder. McDoom, big game. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up tonight again. I want to thank everybody for watching the live stream on my YouTube channel. Don't forget, like, subscribe. I have the videos today from interviews with Mason Cole and Khalid Hill talking Michigan and Michigan State. Those are on my page. I'll have more stuff this week for availability with the coordinators after practice this week as well. And, of course, tomorrow the Big Ten Coaches Conference call. So, if you want to know what the coaches are saying, particularly Jim Harbaugh and Mark D'Antonio, be sure to follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. I typically tweet as I'm listening. You can follow the podcast at Mitten Sports MI. You can find it on Facebook, the Sports in the Mitten. Just search Sports in the Mitten. We're on iTunes, Google Play, and the Blog Talk, FanRag Sports Blog Talk Radio channel. So if you just want the audio only version, that's where you could get it. Again, I want to thank Tim and Keith at Mr. Spots, 808 State Street in Ann Arbor. And on that note, guys, with this being a home game this week, we're going to do the score prediction. So whoever threw them out already, remember what you predicted. I'm going to ask for them probably Thursday morning. And Friday morning at the latest. And basically what you do is you tweet your score prediction to me. The first closest or the first one to get it dead on wins a free half chicken or half steak sandwich from Mr. Spots. So again, 808 State Street, Mr. Spots, AnnArbor.com. I'm Adam Biggers. Follow me again at AdamBiggers81. Thanks for watching, listening, commenting, guys. I appreciate it. Have a good one. And I'll talk to you probably, I'm guessing next one will probably be Wednesday evening at the latest, or maybe Wednesday afternoon after we get the coordinators. So have a good week, guys. Thank you.